Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Not as good as the Leafs are today, as bad as they were. And, you know, it's all about optics, right? This is what people have been talking about, how bad it looked, even though there are few people inside the game, Elliot, correct me if I'm wrong, that believed that the fishing expedition was something that affected how they played on the ice, but it didn't look good. Is that proper?
It's only bad if you lose.
Right.
It's only bad if you lose, and they lost a big game, and they lost it badly, and it becomes an issue. But I laughed my head off last night when I saw that, you know, they won the game 5-0, and the, Sean McKenzie goes up to Bozak, and he says, well, I really thought the off-ice time really helped us tonight. Like, that to me was just outstanding. I loved it.
So they answered, right? I mean, they had to answer. They answered, and does it make everything okay now? Like, you could do that again, or did they learn a lesson? Don't let people know what you're doing, or what? What's learned here?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter. Don't let people know what you're doing. You know, I remember a few years ago when Lindy Ruff was coaching Buffalo. He was late in his time there, and I asked Adam Mayer, a former Leaf who played some time in Buffalo, you know, what's the difference between Lindy Ruff? Has he changed it all later in his time in Buffalo? And he said that they had a road trip to Florida, and the leadership group went up to Ruff and said, you know, can we go for an extra day to Florida? Like, we'd just like to have the extra day there, just have one fun day. And Lindy Ruff looked at him and said, okay, you know, if I say yes to this, you owe me 2 wins, right? And they go, yep. And they went down there, they got the extra day, and they won 2 games. And it's just that if you're going to ask, like, you can't practice every day. First of all, you get 4 mandatory days off a month as per the CBA. And practicing every day, I mean, it's got to be fun. You got to have the ability to do some different things. But I do think, especially in the social media world, you've got to be ready to for people to pounce on you. People love to get outraged. Everything you do, there's going to be people who say, that's bad. That's just the mentality, the mob mentality of social media. So if you're going to do something like that, you better deliver. And they didn't deliver, and it gave people the opportunity for them to hear it. But you said it right, Elliot. It was a great bounce back, and it was a fantastic night for them. They win, and everybody chasing them loses in regulation. It worked out perfectly.
Elliot Friedman, our guest on Brady and Price. Big Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow with the Hawks here. Toronto wearing the same Pats uniforms. Montreal's in Ottawa. We'll get to more on the outdoor game in a sec. And that's on Sportsnet. Vancouver, Edmonton, the late affair with points really mattering for the Oilers in that one at 10 o'clock. Yeah, I was thinking that about players that actually play in Florida. Like, you wouldn't I don't know that Panther fans or Lightning fans share the same amount of volume or outrage, but if you saw Alexander Barkov on a boat on an Instagram post 6 days ago, you'd be like, yeah, he lives in Florida. What's he supposed to do? And that's why players have loved playing in the three markets in California. And Shane Doan wants to stay in Arizona. But we get these cold weather teams go to these 5 or 6 destination places, and we're watching them more closely than we should be, right?
Well, it's true. And I remember years ago interviewing a player on trade deadline. He got traded from Florida to somewhere else, and they were going into a playoff race, and you know, I said, you know, are you looking forward to getting back into the middle of something? And he goes, you know, I kind of like how quiet life is here. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is it's just that, honestly, Greg, you know, people just love to jump on things. They really do. And I just, you know, when I saw that they sent out a picture, I was like, oh man, this is going to become an issue if they lose. And that's exactly what happened. And it just, like, in Ottawa here, the story in the media the other day was, I think there's 4 senators who just recently got off Twitter.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is that, you know, they just feel that you got to shut down the noise. And I think especially at this time of year, if you're not a person who can compartmentalize and you can't, you know, you have to check your mentions, or you're bothered by what you're seeing in your mentions, you just have to get off, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or whatever it is you're on. This is the time of the year that you close that stuff off.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, joins live from Ottawa. Don't forget Hockey Night in Canada, doubleheader tomorrow night. So I think it's Leaf fans feel relieved about the result last night, but, you know, it was still a really slow night again for Auston Matthews. And I would say you're not getting back to the playoffs without contributions from him. You're not going to get Matt Martin and Roman Polak goals every night. It's okay, I think, if we're wondering if there is a little bit of a wall, Elliot. When he was playing in Zurich last year for Mark Crawford, he played 36 games and was so fresh for the World Championships. Jack Eichel was the same guy the year before, playing 40 games in college. The grind is all brand new for Auston Matthews, right?
It is, and I remember last week when I was on, you know, Elliot asked Greg if we should be worried about Matthews, and my answer is no, and I still kind of lean towards that way. I think he'll break out at some point. He had that rough slump earlier in the year, and he broke out in a big way. But I think the one thing is you worry about how it affects him mentally. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday who made a great point. He said, if you're a guy who's supposed to score and you're in a slump like this, especially when it matters, and everybody can say every game's a big game, but some games are bigger than others. When you're in a slump at this time of year and your team is battling for the playoffs and you're not scoring, it weighs on you. Anybody who cares and anybody who's supposed to score, and I think he's definitely both, you're going away from the rink and you're like, all right, great, we won 5-0. You know, we're back in position, but holy smokes, I can't score. And I think the thing that they have to watch the most is how he's reacting. How is it affecting him? Is it making his play worse? Is he squeezing the stick? Is he overthinking? That's what they have to monitor. You know, I know that people are all over Hyman and whether or not he should be switched off the line. That's something that the coaches can manage and the coaches can control. What they really have to worry about is how Matthews is handling this internally and how it affects him every day as he goes on the ice.
All right, big win last night for the Edmonton Oilers. You think they were starting to feel the heat? I mean, it was getting to the point where, you know, I mean, if things kept going that way, can you imagine Flames making the playoffs and the Oilers not?
Yeah, I don't think LA is going to be able to catch them. I mean, famous last words, it'll probably happen now.
Yeah.
But yes, I do think that, you know, nobody likes to go into the playoffs losing or slumping. It always gives you that extra hurdle that you have to jump over. But I mean, that was a slump buster last night. You know, Rask had a really rough night. It was one of those games where it might just go in on both sides. And yes, you know, it's nice to have a laugher. It's nice to have a laugher at this time of year. I could not believe that Cassian wanted to pick a fight with Chara. I mean, that is the one guy in the league that if he decides to fight, you know he could really hurt you. Because if he's mad enough to fight, that means he's mad enough to throw him. And he is a braver man than most to do that. Because in a laugher, if you're picking a fight with that guy, you're risking getting hurt.
We all remember Larry Robinson, right? Like, wouldn't. And not enough games were on TV for the Canadians, but you just wouldn't go there if you were on any of the other teams. I want to ask you quick about sort of the race for the bottom. We watched it really closely last year.
Yeah.
Knowing Matthews was there. And, you know, you're probably like me. Sometimes you turn on the Buffalo station and they were obsessed with getting to the bottom two to make sure they got either McDavid or Eichel. Let's talk about it this year. But since the trade deadline, we're seeing it, right? There's a Detroit-Arizona game last night. You think, well, what does that mean to us? But there's some jockeying going on. Detroit, Arizona, New Jersey, Dallas, Vancouver. They're all within the, sort of that 29th spot. Colorado's going to be 30th. We've known that for months.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there is some... Is there one team that leaps off the page and you say, Nolan Patrick, they need that guy more than these other teams do?
You know, not so much this year, Greg, because I just don't feel that people think that he's... got the ability to do what a Matthews or a Laine did this year, or a McDavid or an Eichel did last year. And it's kind of lost in Buffalo in a disappointing season, but Eichel is really coming on.
Oh, yeah. He's been a great player the last month. Yeah,
he's really coming on. So I don't think that there is really that feeling of, boy, we got to lose to get this guy. The other thing, too, is Vancouver, they have said that they learned the hard way last year about depending on the lottery. They were third, and they ended up fifth. And, how different do they feel about their situation if, they have Puljujarvi instead of Uolivi? Even if Puljujarvi's in the American Hockey League this year, you're looking and saying, hey, we've got a stud coming in a couple of years, even sooner than that when he's ready. I think the other thing this year, too, that everybody kind of forgets about is that Las Vegas is guaranteed third, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think some of the teams are sitting there and saying, man, we're the one who's going to get hooped in this. and I think that that has affected it, because one of those teams is looking at it and saying, we think we should be top three, and in any normal year we would get top three. You know what? We're not going to be top three because of the expansion team. And I think it has scared some teams away from totally tanking it.
All right, before we let you go, Elliot, Chicago's in tomorrow night against Toronto. And lo and behold, they have a 3-point lead on Minnesota right now. Minnesota was yards ahead.
Yeah.
And you think this is going to affect a young team like Minnesota? I mean, Chicago has caught them, and they're kind of in a downward spiral now.
And you know what? I do worry about it a little bit. I thought that they would have some issues after the deadline. Washington, you look at Washington too. You look at Washington and Minnesota. They're two teams who made big moves, and they're kind of struggling to find their way. And I remember when Washington got Shattenkirk, people said the one thing you have to worry about is, how does this affect everybody else who's used to playing? Like Nate Schmidt, I don't know if you guys know him. He's like the most positive, happy, fun-loving guy in the league. And he's the one who gets the scratch when Shattenkirk shows up. And it's tough on him. He tries to come out and be positive because they're trying to win a Stanley Cup. But it's hard for him. And, so Shattenkirk gets suspended. He gets back in the lineup. And he scores, and all of a sudden, the reporters are going to Orpik, and they're saying, when Shattenkirk gets back from his suspension, you're the guy who has to sit. And all of a sudden, John Carlson, who's used to being in the top spot in the power play, he's not in the top spot in the power play. And John Carlson's not the extra man when they pull the goalie. And you have to adjust to that. I think at the end of the day, people look at the bigger picture and they say, we're trying to win a Stanley Cup here. But it's hard when you've been there all the way and all of a sudden the trade deadline, you have to adjust so close to the playoffs. Minnesota's going through that. They got Hanzel, they got White, they had to change all their lines, and it rippled through their lineup. And I do think it takes you a little bit of time to reset, get settled, but it's the wrong time of the year to slump. And, some people who were watching their game last night in Carolina, they said to me they didn't like Boudreaux's body language. Mm-hmm. So that says to me that the coach sees it too, and you've got a couple of weeks to figure this out before you get into the playoffs.
So before you go, news conference today, right? They want to play Ottawa, Montreal outside December 17th at Lansdowne Park, where the Red Blacks play. Is it just about that, or is there any hint in the next year about we know how badly Ottawa, Eugene Melnyk, now bringing Tom Anselmi, and how they want a new downtown arena? Does one lead to the other, or are they not interrelated, really?
No, I don't think they're related. I believe it's just outdoor game. I think they're still negotiating on the building. I had a chance to see Eugene Melnyk yesterday, and really there's a kind of a confidentiality agreement that they can't really discuss the downtown arena yet. Mm-hmm. I did ask them, though, if there was any doubt he had that it would get done. And he said, no, they're optimistic that it's going to get done. But I don't think you're going to see that announced today. It would be a big surprise to me if they announced that one today.